Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. And getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah, and there's something when I get together with a Jewish believer that's red hot for the Messiah, anything can happen. And I've known Jonathan so many years that I can't remember. Jonathan Bernis, how long have we been friends?
Sid, we met in 1983, so figure out the math. I think 25 years.
Mike, there's our anniversary. and Jonathan, for those that aren't that familiar with you, he's currently executive director of the Jewish Voice Ministries International. Jonathan and I were at one of the most historic points in Jewish evangelism in history, which we'll be talking about a little later. But give me the thumbnail sketch of how a nice Jewish drug dealer who wants to make $1 million before he's age 30 becomes sold out for Jesus, the Messiah.
You remember all that, huh, Sid? Yeah, I had very little interest in religion of any kind. I went through the typical Jewish upbringing, bar mitzvah and so on, and absolutely lost interest in synagogue life. But I knew there was something more. The name of one of your books, There Must Be Something More. I knew there was something more to this life, but I was searching in all the wrong places. Drugs, Eastern mysticism, Hare Krishna, the list goes on. Every cult and occult experience you can imagine. And
It reminds me of the scripture, Jonathan, about when it talks about Jewish people. It says we have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So this built-in zeal has to be satisfied somehow if no one will tell us about Jesus.
Exactly. And God is in the supernatural realm, so we're searching in all the wrong supernatural places. The problem, of course, Sid, is that the one thing that's taboo for Jewish people, as you and I know, is believing in Jesus. You can believe in anything and still be Jewish, but Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, you've converted, you're a traitor to the Jewish people.
And you know what I find interesting, Jonathan, is no one told me as a Jew, don't believe in Jesus. Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. But I knew it as if I had heard a whole lecture on it, yet I don't believe anyone ever told me that.
Well, that's because Judaism in America is defined as much by what we don't believe as what we do believe. And it just becomes, from the time you're knee-high, a known truth that Jews don't believe in Jesus, that we believe in one God and Christians have three gods. It's very much an us-and-them mentality. And that's due to a 2,000-year legacy of anti-Semitism and persecution against the Jewish people in the name of Christ and Christianity.
Now tell me about this crazy friend of yours that you just didn't even want to see destroy herself anymore, that had such a dramatic change. It astounded you.
Well, one of my drug buddies in college for 2 years was a girl named Susie, and she got heavier and heavier into drugs to the point where, you know, we're blind to our own use, but it was clear to me that she was headed down fast. And I lost touch with her. She had dropped out of school, and she was on the road to destruction. I wasn't able to see my own road to destruction, but hers was very obvious. So I lost touch with her, and she reappeared in my life a number of months later. I bumped into her on campus, and she I immediately noticed a change in her whole countenance. Sid, she was smiling. She looked clean. I just knew something was different about her, and I made the mistake of asking what happened to her. And she told me and told me and told me. She witnessed to me every day. She called me every day. I didn't know this at the time, but she had her church and Bible study praying for me. And this is how my life began to change.
But there was one very interesting moment where you went to a Bible study. Why in a zillion years would you go to a Bible study?
So that's a good question. I have no idea why I went. I had no intention of going. After a couple of weeks of witnessing to me over the phone, she asked me about this study, which was a study on the book of Revelation and the last days. And I meant to say no, and out of my mouth came yes. It had to be the power of prayer. I say this, Sid, that God honors free will, but he stacks the deck. And I was obviously being changed by the power of prayer and ended up going to the study that I had no intention of going to.
Well, how'd you like this study? What'd the people look like that were there?
I hated it. I felt out of place. The people were, I thought, were staring at me. They were, you know, squeaky clean, born-again Christians. But that was not, that was not of interest to me. So I felt really out of place, and I couldn't wait for the thing to end. The thing that is, though, that God had ordained for me to be there. When the meeting ended, I was taken upstairs by the teacher of the study and another man who had come up to me and introduced himself in the beginning of the study, kissed me on the cheek and asked me if I knew Jesus. And I stammered out something. I didn't know what to say. But they took me through what Christians call the Romans Road, that talks about sin and the wages of sin. There's a misconception, Sid, that Christians have about Jewish people, that we all know the Bible perfectly. So there's an apprehension to share the scriptures with us. It's totally false. I had never read my own scriptures, let alone the New Testament, never read the Old Testament. And when they confronted me with the truth of separation from God, I had a supernatural experience.
Tell me about that.
Well, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear any voices or see an angel, but I felt the separation from God. I felt the weight of my own sin. The presence of God came into that room, and I felt conviction all over me, and I experienced for the first time in my life a spiritual battle going on inside of me. Something told me, this is true. This is the way to go. And of course, that other voice said, no, you have your own life, your own goals, your own ambitions. This isn't for you. Because I knew intuitively that it meant leaving behind the old life, and I was enjoying it a whole lot, to be honest. But I just couldn't leave that room without praying with them, really to get this pressure off of me. So I prayed with them. This is now 28 years ago, Sid, and I went home and tried to forget it, but I couldn't forget it, and that began the very date that my life began to change.
And today, of course, you are a Messianic Jewish rabbi, and you're executive director of Jewish Voice Ministries, and you travel the nations telling everyone everywhere the good news about Messiah. But let's divert just for a moment. We'll pick up there on tomorrow's broadcast, because Jonathan and I were at one of those historic moments in the history of planet Earth and God's dealing with men. And we'll talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast. But I have your new book here, literally just off the press. It's called A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. And I love the first chapter's title. What if everything you've been told about the last days is wrong? Well, we've been told so many things about the last days, Jonathan, that something has to be wrong.
That's right, because these books have to be constantly updated. It's so dangerous, Sid, to be dogmatic about things concerning the last days, because no one knows for sure. We're not to know the hour. We're not to know the time. We do know the season. The Bible says very clearly to know the season, and we're clearly in the season. But I think that many of the things that end-time teachers are focused on really are nebulous. They're hazy. They're difficult to discern with clarity, but there's very clear black and white statements of Jesus and the prophets concerning the last days that are being fulfilled before our very eyes today. And I think the majority of Christians totally overlook some of the clear black and white statements of the last days. And I'm excited to see these in prophecy and to look around and realize they're being fulfilled before our very eyes now. And most Christians don't even realize.
Now, why did you write this book, Jonathan?
Sid, I wrote the book because for 28 years I have been immersed in end-time prophecy teaching. And 28 years ago, I was told that the end was around the corner within days. And I came to believe, Sid, that most end-time teachers are focused on events, end-time events that are very nebulous. In other words, they're apocalyptic, they're hidden, and they're symbolic, so they're very difficult to interpret with absolute clarity, and you can't be dogmatic about it. And yet, as I've read the prophets and the words of Jesus, I've found prophecy after prophecy, black and white prophecy concerning the last days, that's being fulfilled before our very eyes, and many of these prophecies are completely overlooked by these end-time teachers, and most Christians seem to not even be aware of some of them. So I wrote the book to inform Christians. It's a very positive book. The best Sid is yet to come, because there's very positive prophecies that are being fulfilled before our very eyes that clearly reveal that we're in the last days.
Well, I'll tell you, with the times we're living in right now, that is a breath of fresh air. And but the thing that makes me excited is your book also really reveals, it's wonderful that we're in the end times. It's wonderful that Jesus is going to come soon. However, are we going to fulfill our call, our individual call for the last days? And I believe your book gives a lot of insight into that.
And that's also why I wrote it, Sid, because it's not only being aware of these Bible prophecies being fulfilled, but the church is to be, the Christians are to be co-workers with the living God, with the Spirit of God, to bring about the fulfillment of some of these prophecies. So it's not about cheering from the sidelines and saying, oh boy, Jesus is about to return, and doing nothing. It's about every Christian listening to this program fulfilling their destiny.
But I love the title for the first chapter. What if everything you've been told about the last days is wrong? I urge you to get a copy of this book. It's got information you will not see in other places. And it's available for a donation of $22. Call it right today for A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days.
Our website, SidRoth.org, is jam-packed with tools to equip you to move in signs and wonders, understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church. Log on to SidRoth.org today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.